But in a typical moment, you're pretty balanced. Somebody says something, and it's most likely somebody close to you says something, and boom, an increase of over 30 hormones, natural steroids, begin to stimulate and intensify. They begin to really boil. This is kind of why temper is expressed like this, as hot-tempered, boiling hot. It's like on the inside, things are really getting tense. All of this impacts how the body's going to respond. I mean, note this. If you haven't paid close attention to what happens when this emotion shows up to you, start paying attention to it. There's a change in your heart rate. There's an increase of your blood pressure. There's a shortness of breath. Your pitch gets higher. You have an urge to stand up. You have an urge to pace. You have a desire to flail your arms, raise your arms, to intensify. Hey, if you can't tell from my voice, inflection, and tone, and pitch, then let my hands express that even more to you, as the preacher raises his hands. Other identifiers that anger has your number, and it's rattling your cage. It has a big stick, and it's just running down your cage. And it's riling you up. What else shows up? Listen, some of you know this. You'll say words that you would never say out loud. Swearing. I'll say, well, preacher, you can't pick on me for my words. Well, I'm only trying to help you identify when anger is rattling your cage. Swearing will, that's the words that are not normally part of your normal vocabulary, they will show up. Now, I could ask for a show of hands. I'm really tempted to, but I don't want to make anyone angry at me. Have you ever been angry? Yeah. Of course, preacher. Let's be clear on this. Not everybody has. I realize it's possible some of you have had this, but it's not a widespread problem that many of us would be under the impulse to rob a bank. Now maybe you've planned this out somewhere along. Now I hope you've repented of it, and I hope you never act on it. So we're not talking about something that touches one of you, or a couple of you who are planning to rob a bank soon. Don't do it. But I'm talking about something that touches every last one of us in the room. I do not think there's a single person who does not have an ongoing battle with this emotion of anger. Likely most of us have had a legion of tiny irritations in our lives that flare up anger, and it shows up differently. Let's acknowledge this. It shows up quicker on some than others. It shows up differently on some than others. But of all of the things that could most likely irritate and bring about the awakened feeling of anger may have even attacked many of you as you were leaving your home, or as you awoke this morning, or as you walked into this room. The biblical warnings against anger are appropriately fitting for every one of us to pay attention to. Now, I would particularly say the individual who says, listen, I've never had a problem with anger, and I don't have an ongoing regular issue with anger, I would say to you, I'm especially talking to you. Okay? And I want to be careful, and I want to be loving here, and I want to be truthful here. This is part of the warning that God gives to Cain. This danger is waiting for you at the door. And you think in your mind you have mastered it, but in all reality, it knows your number. It knows how to rattle your chains. And it owns you. You must be careful here. It is said that Adolf Hitler would frequently lose all control of himself. And so let's start with someone that we can always look to and say, yeah, I have anger issues, yeah, but I'm nothing like Adolf Hitler. Okay, let's go ahead and do that and see how much you may be like Adolf Hitler. He would lose all control of himself. The historians that were his inner circles who documented his actions and his demeanor. His face became molten and swollen with fury. Is this not even some of what God is protesting Cain about? The countenance, his contortion of his face. It's reported that he would often scream at the top of his voice, spitting out a stream of abusive words, waving his arms wildly and drumming on the table, and kicking over furniture, etc., etc., etc. Some of you know exactly what that looks like. Some of you know exactly how to do that. There's obviously concluding evidence that the mass murdering events of Adolf Hitler is the danger of what has become known as one of the great atrocities against nations. But let's be fully honest. What does that say about the temperament of those in the United States of America who have allowed for and have participated in the intentional murdering of over 60 million babies in the womb? Yeah, let's go ahead and bring up our Adolf Hitlers as to deflect while we ignore what is even to some. Listen, if you've ever been in communication with someone who wants to defend their right to murder babies, you'll find yourself quickly in front of an angry person. We all know that sports coaches and elite athletes who explode sometimes what appears to be with a trigger hair angry compulsion. I know as a teenager witnessing, I love to watch basketball. I wish I could have been able to play basketball, but I love to watch basketball, and there was a particular coach in Indiana that it was known that you wanted to watch it to see how many chairs he was going to throw across the floor. And that was, it's no good thing, but to a spectator, it's like, well, I paid good money for that. I want to see something. What is it about us that we like to see people in a fit of rage? In 2022-2023, the NBA, these stats it's bizarre to me the kinds of stats that we keep. But in 2022-2023 NBA season, over $3.2 million worth of fines were levied against NBA basketball players and coaches. Related to anger, $3.2 million worth of fines. And that's charged against 1,050 players and coaches. Now think about, and I know there's more than five teammates on the floor, but you think 1,050 members of an exclusively elite professional sporting event had over $3.2 million worth of fines. Now, I didn't even go and look about the National Hockey League. It's often said you went to a hockey game you go to a hockey game and a prize fight broke out. I don't know that they necessarily levy the fines out as quickly in hockey as they do in other sports. I also did a search of the Major League Baseball in the same time frame of 2022-2023, over $60 million worth of fines levied out over coaches and players with issues related to anger. This is amongst the most elite, disciplined athletes and coaches in the world.
I think it's clear to say there is a lot of problems related to anger. It is hard to identify anger in your own heart. We can see it in someone else. We can see it by a coach who picks up a chair and throws it across the court. You can see it when the benches, when the dugouts empty out because a pitcher pitches a wild ball and hits a batter, and anger and just infuses the entire teams. We can easily identify it there. But why is it so hard to see it in our own hearts? Your emotions are not to be carved out of who you are, but really life is really the work of mastering the emotions that God has given to us. This is true, isn't it? An inappropriate, untimely laugh is unnerving, isn't it? And that's joyful. Somebody laughs at the wrong spot, the wrong moment. It's a tense situation and somebody laughs at somebody. That's not mastered, that emotion. Now, it doesn't happen nearly as often as a fit of rage or an outburst of anger. But misreading a situation is certainly dangerous, isn't it? And listen, we also don't want to become emotionless creatures whom God has created with emotions. We really must see here that God intends for us to master these emotions that He's given to us. We've seen this in the first chapter, really, the first two chapters for sure of Genesis, that we are rational beings. We have the capacity to think, reason, examine the situation, consider our part in the event, and rationally consider what's going on. We've been made as image bearers of God. So we'll learn a lot about God through the Bible. We see that God expresses joy. It would be natural that we would be those who would express joy. We can see that God expresses sadness. We experience sadness. God does not experience fear, but we are required to fear Him in a reverential manner. We have love. We have anger. These are emotions and attributes that one could say that a rational being, a created being in the image of God, would have. It would be natural then for us to see these emotions inside of those creatures whom God has placed them in, the human race. We do feel life deeply, though, don't we? I mean, think of the times when you really laugh. It's a deep laugh. It's a healing kind of a laugh. When we have a loved one who's died and or the close proximity of that individual, we feel that deeply. We have sorrow. You ever been in a situation where fear has overcome you and it appears as though something really bad is you're in the very moment of something really bad happening? So we understand these things, and we must instruct our lives. We must instruct our feelings. If you don't understand this, then you would be like me, who thinks, why not eat ice cream all the time? Because we can't live on that. You think, why not just let my emotion fly whenever I experience it? Why not just experience it to the fullest? Anger presents itself to me, and I'm going to walk you through things that you already know about this emotion. None of them, I don't suppose, will surprise any of you. But don't you know, we have to instruct our bodies how we're going to live. This is why, boys and girls, it's good that your moms and dads don't let you eat peach ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, even though it has fruit and dairy involved. You cannot live on peach ice cream. You say, well, why not strawberry ice cream? You don't get the point if that's the argument. You're going to need more life-sustaining food. And so bless the Lord that someone comes along and instructs you. Why? So that you will be disciplined. That you know you must put right kinds of foods into your body in order for you to function rightly. If you don't, you'll function improperly. It will not be well for you. And this is the same with the emotion. The emotion, if you do not function with it properly, you will not function in life properly. Men get angry, don't they? Well, let's not mistake this here. Women get angry too, don't they? Husbands get angry, don't they, wives? And husbands, wives get angry, don't they? Fathers get angry, don't they, boys and girls? Mothers get angry, don't they? Sons get angry, don't they, parents? Daughters get angry, don't they, parents? All of us know, we've all been touched by this emotion. A man, a husband, a father, he may get angry because he's underpaid, he's underappreciated, he's overworked, he's underpraised. Okay, that's different when a wife is, when a housewife is underpaid and underappreciated and overworked and underpraised. But at the core of it, there's still the same danger. What comes about when that begins to present itself? A child will face many of the same emotions of anger related to some of the same situations that men and women do, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. They'll be presented, and there will be a close correlation of the feelings, the feeling of anger. But listen, we all know this, that those whom we're the closest to are the ones who we're going to experience the greatest anger in. The old song, "You always hurt the one you love." This is really, it's a true statement. You can have someone say in the same tone, in the same way, the same thing that a spouse says, and it's like, okay, whatever, I'm just gonna keep moving along. But a spouse says the same thing the same way, and it's like, it was stopping everything, and I'm just gonna unload right now, because who are you to say that to me? The ones we're the closest to. Husbands and wives, you experience and you articulate things inside of this emotion more with each other than you do with anyone else in society. Parents and children, you experience and you wrestle inside of this emotion closer and more dangerously than you do with anyone else you come across. Listen, you could be waiting at the grocery store and you can get angry quickly because your line's moving slower than the one that had more people in it, and you chose the shorter one. And notice how quickly you get angry at the checker because he or she is doing her job and helping the customer that's in front of her. And look how quickly you get angry at her. But also look how little you have to say to them. Now some of you, yeah, that's no inhibitor for you. You go ahead and unleash your anger. But generally speaking, we don't lash out there. But talk about a loved one. It's like, oh boy, get ready for the sparks to fly. Get ready for the fireworks to burst in the air. The child most likely experiences anger the closest with his siblings, with her siblings, with her parents, with his parents. Boys and girls, you may not understand this because anger is one of those emotions that leaves us pretty confused. We don't know why we're angry. We don't know why we're so angry so quickly. We don't know the difference between frustration and anger. And so sometimes it begins to just get lashed out. The things we would say under our breath about our parents, the things we would say about our brothers and sisters, out loud, the way we treat them physically, you just don't do that, generally speaking, in the general public. But in the confines of our homes, look how much more we will speak and exercise in this emotion and in this unmastered emotion of anger. What happens
When the anger can't be identified, that's even more frustrating because you don't know why you're angry, but you know that you are. So I want to pose two questions for us and let this be the framework as we journey through this emotion. Two good questions, I think. Is that in every situation you could find yourself examining yourself with this. Is this anger wrong? I don't want to present the idea that anger is always wrong. I do want to present the idea that anger is usually wrong. However, so when you feel the emotion of anger, is this anger wrong? So you're driving down the road and you see somebody on the sidewalk beating another person to a pulp with a baseball bat. What generally is going to motivate you to stop your car, put yourself in danger, call the authorities, or try to come alongside and help the individual who is defenseless? That will be somewhat driven by an emotion of justice that has a close friend of anger. That emotion that actually would motivate you to entangle in something that is dangerous and risky is no doubt closely related to the emotion of anger. So is this emotion wrong? Is this anger that I'm experiencing right now, is this wrong? It's possible you could say, no, this is the right. I need to check my anger. I need to make sure that I'm in control of it. And that I express myself properly in this emotion. So first question, is this anger wrong? Second question, is this anger right? And I want to start with the first, is this anger wrong? Because I don't want to present the idea that anger is always wrong. But would we be able to identify the anger, the experience, the emotion that is welling up inside of you? Is it wrong? So, boys and girls, one of your brothers or sisters has, without permission, taken something that you did not give them permission to play with. And so your first emotion is to go and grab the thing out of their hand and yank it out of them. Is that emotion wrong? Well, the emotion that somebody took something that is not theirs and is yours without permission, that's not wrong. But then you should follow that up quickly with the way I responded to this. Was that wrong? That's where we can say usually, yeah, that was wrong. I should not have done that. Your parents tell you to go and pick something up while you're doing something that you would rather be doing than picking that thing up. Is it wrong for you to be disappointed, to be hurt, that you cannot continue doing this, so you have to go and do that? We can say that in the maybe, yeah, it's okay to have disappointments, but what is that doing inside of you that's creating this desire for you to be in a fit of rage and just scream at your mom and dad? Now you've moved, so you can see there's a place in which we tip over, both literally and figuratively here. We actually move the anger meter moves over here to everything I'm doing is now wrong, sinful. So anger is, let's make sure we do get this, anger is natural and it must be mastered. Because it's natural, and this is what I believe some of what the Lord is speaking to Cain about, is that this anger must be mastered. And if you don't, then beware. There is serious problem facing you. Let's get along the way. I want to insert some scripture verses to help us think through this. This need to be disciplined in this emotion. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. This would be a good piece of text to meditate upon, especially if you have issues with anger. Or parents, you know that a child in particular has more propensity toward anger than another. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Notice this. Or you will learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. This is Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. We'll say, well, listen, that's good and all, but listen, I didn't know the person I married was going to be a hot-tempered person. And now you're telling me to not make friends with a hot-tempered person. No, you're in a situation where you need to make friends with a hot-tempered person. Because that's your beloved spouse that you are married to. But let's say on the front end how important it is that you pay attention to the temperament of a potential spouse's temper. So moms and dads, these would be good things to help teach your children to observe, and to, as they want to marry someone who's going to be God glorifying, look closely here. Make close friends with a hot-tempered person. Here's what the normal circumstance will be. That hot-tempered nature on that friend that you're now friends with is a snare. It's a trap. It snags you, and then it owns you. So be careful here. Boys and girls, how important is it that you pay close attention to the friends that you make? Moms and dads, pay close attention to the friends that your children are associating with. This would be one of the ways that you can help guard your heart, the heart of your children, is by not giving them unprotected or unobserved time with hot-tempered individuals who are easily angered. It doesn't mean that that person cannot be rescued by the power of God. It doesn't mean that they can't acknowledge this, repent of it, and master this sin. But notice here what's generally being spoken. Anger is one of those emotions that we rarely feel like we need to discipline. This presents many problems for us, doesn't it? Hot-temperedness. Listen, let's go ahead and say everything we know out loud. I think that's helpful for us, isn't it? Anger in an infant is actually pretty understandable. I mean, an infant can't articulate with words that their diaper needs changed. And so the only thing they know to do is to cry. Sometimes it's with a reddened face and a clenched fist. A toddler, he can do better, but he's still dealing with an emotion that he doesn't really recognize. He doesn't know the danger of this. So in some levels, we can give some passes. We should pass the understanding of knowing that, of understanding this. Okay, so anger is showing up even in infants and toddlers. And so how important and how quickly do parents need to begin addressing this with their children? Immediately. Acknowledging these things and somewhat saying, okay, listen, I understand you don't know how to tell me how hungry you are, and so that's why you just don't have the means to communicate that to me. So we understand that, we expect that, we deal with that with many levels of appreciation and overlooking the hardship of it. But don't think that it will just naturally pass. You're going to have to teach these children how to master this emotion. As the child grows, anger in a child will eventually begin to teach that child how to respond to get their way if it's undisciplined. That's what anger will do, is it will begin to teach the child, here's the natural thing to do. I want to do something, I'm being told I can't, and so here's how I get what I want to do. I mean, you see that child in the grocery store, don't you? Anger in a young adult, it's wildly different now. A young man, a young woman, anger quickly owns them. Yeah, certainly. Now we're talking about real serious trouble can be had. It's Vodi Bakum who talks, he refers to an infant as a viper in a diaper. It's a good thing that infants don't have adult strength, or they would have murdered all of their parents by now. That's one of those things. Okay, we get it. A child can't communicate. A child's learning. He's experiencing all of these things. And he's going to need to be disciplined in this work. But anger in a husband and in a wife, a father and a mother, this is This is dangerous territory. Extraordinarily dangerous because, again, a child in the home, what is he doing? He's learning the traits. He's learning the mechanisms. He's learning how to communicate. And what is he doing? He's observing. What is she doing? She's watching. She's listening. How does daddy get his way? How does mommy communicate how disappointed she is in everything? Those little ears and those little eyes, those little blessings of God are watching everything you say and do. This may be a three-part sermon, because I'm on page 3 of 9. So just go ahead and get ready to buckle in, or we'll find a place to put an intermission and pick it up next week. Let's definitely talk about the different kinds of anger. There's rage. This is the kinds of words that the Bible uses to speak about anger. The 20 times in the New Testament the word anger is used to describe explosive hot-temperedness. I mean, we can somewhat use Peter as some kind of a test, a poster child person who does many things in the spur of the moment, in the flash of emotion, and many times with anger. Not all 20 of these times in the New Testament that describe hot-temperedness are related to Peter, but certainly many of them are. 45 times the New Testament will speak about anger of resentment. A different kind of anger that has really as much dangerous outcome at the end as just an explosive, hot-tempered individual does. 5 times in the New Testament to describe anger without inappropriate behaviors. So look at the weight of the New Testament when it speaks about anger is clearly on the side of dangerous. Occasionally, and the majority of the times, the Bible will see some instructions of how to deal with anger. We'll look at those. But the examples, the test, the poster child in front of us, we know that Jesus gets angry. We know He expresses anger. And we would also conclude that He does this righteously. So 5 times the Bible will describe anger as in relationship to the appropriate expression of it. So the weight of the dangers, the cautions, and the examples of negative anger far outweigh the positives. Meaning to us, when we think about, when we read across this word in the New Testament alone, we're not talking about even the Old Testament. The Old Testament is packed full of perfect examples of how not to act in anger. We can see that anger that leads to sin or is motivated from sin is the normal problem for us. We can identify many of the warnings of Scripture of the emotion of anger has rattled the cage of the individual that it is owning, which is thus what Cain's issue with God is. If you don't master this emotion, then know this, it is waiting for you outside the door. So let's put a couple of things together. This is where you're going to say, yep, I know that. When I'm getting angry, those are the things that describe me. This has been well tested in the scientific world, in the medical world, ways in which you can just identify that anger. So these are warning signs, I would say, that God has created you with the capacity, with the capacity to know I'm in dangerous territory here. So what are they? Well, there's adrenaline and noradrenaline. These are two chemicals that the body produces. Both, and you can see a lot of these will be real similar to when you experience fear. There's a release. The body begins to say, "Hey, by the way, you're going to need to run faster than you've ever run before." And so, even to the old fat guy, you're going to have to really pick it up here. And by the way, in order to really help you out here, we're going to pump a bunch of adrenaline and noradrenaline into your body system so that you can really, well, you can at least look like you're exerting a lot of effort in this A bear has shown itself at the camp while you're out on the 4th of July camp out. And the only thing you can be settled with is, I know, I'm looking around, I'm doing an assessment of everybody I'm camping with. I got to be able to outrun at least one person here. And so the adrenaline kicks in and you navigate your exit plan and you still get eaten by a bear. So that's not my hope. And if that happens to any of you, I'll visit you in the hospital. All right. I don't want you to think you've done something bad by, well, I don't know. Maybe you've done something dumb and you've left food in your tent. Don't do that kind of dumb thing. But anyway, preacher, get to the point here. The body demands, it calls up to the body and it says, hey, by the way, adrenal glands, it's time to go to work. The spleen releases red blood cells. The bone marrow stimulates for more, an instantaneous increase of white blood cells. The liver produces more sugars than normal. These are all the medical world, this is where I get all this information. These are things that the body is doing that when anger presents itself, it's saying, hey, it's time to put the dukes up. And in order to do that in a successful way, we're going to give you everything needed. We're going to feed you now everything that you need for a good fight. Your glands are at work, your blood system. It's said in the medical journal that I was studying and reading through that there's a release of over 30 hormones that show up when you get angry. That's a lot more than normal. I mean, they're present. But in a typical moment, you're pretty balanced. Somebody says something and it's most likely somebody close to you says something and boom, an increase of over 30 hormones, natural steroids begin to stimulate and intensify. They begin to really boil. This is kind of why temper is expressed like this, as hot tempered, boiling hot. It's like on the inside, things are really getting tense. All of this impacts how the body's going to respond. I mean, note this. If you haven't paid close attention to what happens when this emotion shows up to you, start paying attention to it. There's a change in your heart rate. There's an increase of your blood pressure. There's a shortness of breath. Your pitch gets higher. You have an urge to stand up. You have an urge to pace. You have a desire to flail your arms, raise your arms, to intensify. Hey, if you can't tell from my voice, inflection, and tone, and pitch, then let my hands express that even more to you, as the preacher raises his hands. Other identifiers that anger has your number and it's rattling your cage. It has a big stick and it's just running down your cage and it's riling you up. What else shows up? Listen, some of you know this. You'll say words that you would never say out loud. Swearing. Well, preacher, you can't pick on me for my words. Well, I'm only trying to help you identify when anger is rattling your cage. Swearing will, that's the words that are not normally part of your normal vocabulary, they will show up. And they'll be said out loud, not just thought in the head. You know what else will happen? Name calling. You normally would never call your wife negative names. You would usually desire to respect your husband and never use slanderous name calling. But sure enough, I mean, you know this, don't you? Some of you know this really well. Is it a sin to talk to yourself? Let me just say no. But don't you do a lot of talking to yourself when you're angry? Well, man, I know I do, at least. So when I read this in the medical journal, I thought, well, okay, I'm not all that. Well, I'm in trouble, but
That's a normal, it's part of how the body's dealing with all of the release of all of these steroids and hormones in the body. Anger is really, it's a surge of an automatic biological chemical company. It's a factory producing and pumping out everything, and especially to the undisciplined individual. This is like, oh man, fire up the factory. This boy is about to put on a show. And let's show how quickly we can get him there. A quick little intermission here. Let me talk at least about a little bit of a positive. I've done a lot of negative. Let me insert here some positive, a positive side of anger before I conclude with what I hope to be a helpful conclusion of dealing with the sin of anger. Which, by the way, you know this full well, the New Testament likens anger to murder. Which is part of why we're here. Genesis chapter 4. We have a murder on our hands. We have an individual who did not discipline the emotion of anger. And he murders his own brother. So preacher, please tell us some positive outcome here. Is there not some good examples of righteous indignation? Yes, there are. We can make an argument out of Exodus chapter 32 that Moses is responding properly. As he's come off the mountain, the Lord's just given him the Ten Commandments. He's come to the camp and he's found the camp has created, they've melted all of their gold down and they've created an idol for themselves. Boys and girls, we just talked about this. Don't do this, God tells us. Don't make idols for yourselves. And what do they do while Moses is talking to God? God's giving him the law. They're making a god for themselves. And Moses comes off the mountain. It would be an appropriate response that Moses would be angry. And we can't say everything that Moses did in his anger was always good. Because we use Moses in a positive, we probably got 3 to 4 times as many that would be in the negative. But we can see, I think it was an appropriate response that Moses was angry. The people had not even given God a chance. They're just out of the land of worshiping false gods. They're just being, they have fresh on their minds how God rescued them out of the Red Sea in the hands of Pharaoh's army. They hear the thundering on the mountain. What do? They make a god for themselves. David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, even though he's described as angry here, we can reasonably conclude that in 1 Samuel chapter 17, while he shows up at the camp, he's brought food for his brothers from his father, and he sees Goliath taunting the God of Israel. It's described in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David was angry. So we can see there are positive. And don't you know, it would take something more than just a normal shepherd boy disposition to go face a giant and take him down. So you can see that there are things that God has given to your body that would be appropriate ways of responding and acting in this. We must be careful in it. Okay, the majority of the letters from the Apostle Paul, one could conclude Paul must have been an extremely angry individual. So I think it's fair to say that Paul was expressing anger in positive and good ways. He wrote letters cautioning the churches that were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. He was angry that they had not dealt with sin in the church. He was angry that they were mistreating the Lord's table. He was angry. And so he's motivated in the right way to correct the wrong practice and infuse the right and the biblical and the glorifying response. So the Bible does describe God as being slow to anger and great in power. That's what Psalm 37:8 says. Well, Psalm 37:8, let me read it for you. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to sin. So, know this about this emotion.
That can be for good. That if this anger is not disciplined, and you don't realize that it's leading you toward wrath, fretting, worry, know this, that this is what this emotion has done. It has led to full-blown sin. It's the tipping point. The difference between righteous indignation and wrath. Sin. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Anger resides in the lap of fools. Proverbs 27 verse 4 and chapter 21 verse 19. To summarize, anger causes trouble. So in the general rule, anger causes more harm than good. More often it leads to sin rather than to righteousness. That's what Proverbs 27, 4 and 21, 19 would teach us. James tells us to gives us a helpful roadmap. In chapter 1, verse 19, he says, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to anger. Charles Spurgeon wrote many warnings about this emotion. In a allegorical sense, Charles Spurgeon wrote about this emotion in some of his allegorical writings. Not really well known that he wrote some of these, but he did. He basically says this: here's what you need to do when you begin to sense. So be fully aware of your body's changing, your heart rate, your blood pressure, the tensing of your mouth, the piercing of your lips, the urge to stand up, the rising pitch of your voice, the flailing of your arms, the kicking of walls and chairs. When you see this happening, Charles Spurgeon would say, listen, you need to speak to yourself quickly. He says, and you just begin talking to yourself, which is one of the signs of your anger. Preach to yourself. Here's what he recommends you do. If needed, exit yourself from the situation and go get yourself a drink of water. This is good counsel. And he says, go out to the pump, because he didn't have water at the faucet, as a way to work off some of the adrenaline. So this is not just self-help kind of help that Spurgeon is arguing for. He's saying, be aware of this. Be mindful of this. Go get yourself a new drink of water. Drink that water. Count to 10. Check your pulse. Is your mouth still pierced? Are you still desiring to pace around? If so, pump yourself another glass of water, drink that water, check your heart rate before you say anything else. Well, he's saying that somewhat humorously, but also really pretty helpfully. There's a helpful instruction in that, isn't there? Be faster at reconciliation. Here's where I'm going to have to put a stop point here today, and we'll put a second half. This will work well, because I'm moving toward the twin offspring of anger, and that's hostility and bitterness. And I want to have them attached to what we're looking at in Genesis chapter 4. Hostility and bitterness. What happens whenever we do not master anger? Hostility and bitterness will set up camp. You thought you were owned by anger, but now look at you. You have three masters of your soul right now. Anger, hostility, and bitterness. So let me encourage you here this morning as we conclude here. Be fast to reconcile whenever you know anger has showed up. You may be 70% in the right. 30% of your reaction needs to be repented of and seek forgiveness of. In other words, I'm trying to say, you may be right in that you were angry about something that required you to be angry about, but the way in which you went about it was completely wrong. You don't need to repent of being right in the emotion. You need to repent of responding wrongly, sinfully, hurtfully. Even if you're 1% wrong and 99% right, that 1% wrong You're lashing out against who? Usually the closest to you. Your beloved spouse. Your dear children. Your parents. This emotion is this kind of dangerous. We're even instructed in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, to leave our offerings at the table and go and seek reconciliation with those that we've hurt. This is a really important instruction. And what happens if we don't follow the instructions of the Bible? Then expect these twin offspring, hostility and bitterness, to show up. Set up camp and demand you pay attention to everything that they say. Bitterness and hostility is like black mold in your home. You may not even know it's there, but it's killing you. It's destroying you. So saints, let me exhort you. Let me encourage you in this. Yes, I know I'm speaking harsh things. I'm speaking things that some of you are saying, oh listen, I hope so-and-so is listening, and I hope they are too. And I hope you're listening. I hope I'm listening. This is one of the ways that we really do combat the culture, is by mastering our own emotions. And the one that is among the most dangerous to us is the emotion of anger. Some of you this morning, you need to repent of your anger. Some of you need to have an honest conversation today before the sun goes down with your spouse. And you need to get some things in order. Some of you need to say, oh, beloved, precious gift of Almighty God, I'm so sorry I speak to you like I do. I know it's not right. I know it's hurtful. And I know I've sinned against God when I do it. So I want to encourage you. This, where we have more to think about and more to consider, what will you do today? Certainly you're not going to wait till next week to get to finish of this message before you deal with it. Deal with it immediately. Handle it now. May the Creator of heaven and earth help you. It's what we've already sung, it's what we've already read, and it's what we believe. Lift your eyes up. Set them on Zion's hill. Set them on the Creator of heaven and earth. Master the emotion He gave you for His glory, not useful for disaster and destruction.